Good evening. We're enjoying some beautiful weather, a little cooler than what it is lots of times this time of year, which is a blessing for those working outside and our kids and adults at camp. Would mention we have a full calendar in July, so be sure to look at some of the things going on. And one thing, appreciate Kim praying for our search for a youth minister to work with us here. And I would encourage you to mark down July the 9th. That's the second weekend of July. We're going to have a man named Wesley Peden and his family with us on that weekend. And we'll be sharing more about the details of that and about his family coming. And they're interested in the work here. And we were able to work with them one day when we were in Menifee County. They are living and working for the last several years in Somerset, Kentucky. And so they drove over and spent the day with the group there, and we got to meet them and things, and so the elders have invited them to come. So that's going to be on July the 9th, and we will be working out all the details, but we'll have some activities and things for our church family to get to know them and to talk about his working with the church. Keeping the backbone in the body of Christ. This week is... our one word is church, and we're talking about relationships. And we talked about fathers this past week, and now this coming week is the church, and we're going to do several of these with dealing with the doctrine and our relationships with one another. And when you think about the backbone, some of you might have thought, well, he's going to preach about women, because we always talk in the church that women are the backbone of the church. Well, that'd be a good sermon, but that's not where I'm going tonight. Women are the backbone of the church, but in a lot of ways, but I want us to think more about the backbone in terms of our courage and our fortitude. Jesus had a backbone. Now that seems a little basic, but in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17 it says he was made like us. He did the work of a carpenter. He was very mobile, and he walked about and went all over Jerusalem and Galilee and Palestine teaching and preaching the gospel. He also had a backbone, though, in moral character. He had deep strength and spiritual strength. For example, he went toe-to-toe with Satan in the wilderness, Matthew 4, 1-11. He repeatedly stood up to the Pharisees, Matthew 23, 1-39. And he showed no fear before the governor Pilate when he was on trial before his crucifixion and death, John 19, 11. And so Jesus had a backbone. I mean, he was a man of men. He was someone who was courageous and strong. He was not weak. He was meek, but he was not weak. And certainly there is a tremendous difference. The church is to be the body of Christ on earth today. The Bible talks in various ways about the body of Christ having various parts of a human body. For example, we are to use our feet to carry the gospel, Romans 10:15. We are to use our hands to care for those in need, 1 Corinthians 4:12 and Galatians 6:10. We are to use our eyes to lift up our eyes and see that the fields are widened to harvest, John 4, verse 35. We are to use our ears to hear the Macedonian call, Acts 11, 29 and 16:9. We are to use our knees to bow in prayer, Ephesians 3, 14. And we are to use our legs to stand strong on the truth of God, 1 Corinthians 6, 13. And our tongues should sing forth the praises of God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and Hebrews 13. And finally, our shoulders should be used to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6, verse 2. The Bible never says specifically we have a backbone like it does some of these other parts. But certainly Jesus had a backbone. And we're the body of Christ. We are to have a backbone. And so as we think about the church tonight, in an analogy way, I want us to think about the idea that we are to have a backbone. And I want to share with you some things that we need to make sure that we're doing so that we can have a strong backbone in the church. We need to stand for the doctrine of Christ. We ought to speak up, speak out, and speak for Christ. And so here are some characteristics of a courageous church, a church with a backbone. Number one, a church with a backbone is going to give a voice to the voiceless. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit the widows and orphans in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." I thought there's an interesting commercial out now. I'm not sure exactly. I think it may be IBM. It's one of those kind of companies like that, GE or something. But it's a take on celebrities, and it said, "What would the world be like if scientists were our celebrities?" You might have seen that commercial. And it's about a woman scientist who won the Nobel Peace Prize, and it makes it out like she's a celebrity, and she's like on the picture of all the magazines, and everybody, all the teenagers want to get their selfie made with this Nobel Peace Prize winning woman. And it's kind of talking about this idea that we typically in our nation don't lift up maybe the people that we should be lifting up. That we often neglect the people who really are making a difference. And it's kind of and I think the commercial goes on to say, whatever company it is investing so much money in support of the science and education and things like that. But I think that's how our world is, isn't it? Our world tends to, you know, focus on the people who get the glory and the recognition, the singers, the athletes, the famous people. And it's the same in our communities, in a sense. That it's easy for the people who are disadvantaged, who don't have someone to stand up and speak out for them, to be overlooked. And the church has the responsibility, and a church with the backbone is going to be a church that cares about those who are suffering. In the first place, it should be for those who are widows, those who are the orphans. For those who are, and this is one that is we should certainly speak out for the unborn who are suffering abortion, church ought to cry out for those in the womb who cannot speak for themselves. They don't have a voice. You think about the orphan children. Think about the work that New Pathways is doing. And what they're doing for children that are in extremely abusive situations many times, neglected situations. And that's the church. That's our responsibility, to be making a difference for people who do not have a voice in society to stand up for. Think about some of our members who used to be in these chairs, who are now in the nursing home, have lost some of their privacy, they're sharing a room with someone, don't have as much of their physical abilities as they used to have. We still need to stand up for them. We still need to care for them. We don't need to forget them. What about some of our members who are homebound, cannot come out? It's up to us to still speak out and remember those who may not have a voice in society. In Psalm 82, the Bible would say, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." The church ought to support the weak, Acts 20, 35 and Romans 14, 1. Edmund Burke said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. We must speak against all manners of sin and abuse. It's important for us to stand up against domestic abuse, stand up against child abuse, against drug abuse, and to those who are aborting children involved in that." You see, the church with a backbone is going to take a stand and be caring about those who may not have a voice for themselves. And you know, I try over time to, at different times, preach on some of these subjects. We recently talked about the sex trade in our country, and of course, there's so many children that are abused through that in the pornography industry. Or we think about domestic abuse. We need to stand up in our own lives when we're going about in our communities for those who do not have a voice. And our financial support should go and continues to go to works like New Pathways, to works like we're doing in El Salvador for the children's ministry, to the works where we support and help Everyone Counts, widows and others who are suffering. Number two, we should make sure that the church carries the gospel behind enemy lines. A church with a backbone is going to be a church that is willing to cross borders and experience different cultures and social norms for the sake of the gospel. It involves risk to your life and possible persecution. The Great Commission requires a backbone. Think about that. Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. That takes a backbone to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's important. I think that we would be amiss if we did not allude to our group who is in El Salvador. Of course, there has been significant changes in the political and the social unrest in El Salvador since we've been working with it over the last 10 years. But it took courage for our group to go. It took dedication and risk. We believe that the risk was a risk that was manageable and worth taking, and one that they could provide for safety in. Not a reckless risk, but there's risk in traveling and going to these countries. Think about some of the other missionaries, like Brother Ray Hart, who goes to India, and all the things that are going on in India and with various religions from Hinduism to Islam, and the conflict with Pakistan and things. Think about some of the missionaries who are going into China, and Brother Dimar Elam and some of the work that they're doing in the Philippines and preparing people to go into China and smuggling Bibles into China and underground churches. They say there are thousands of Christians in underground churches all through China. The church with the backbone has people who are willing to risk for the sake of the gospel. People who are willing to say, as the apostles did in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 20, that we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We must work together. You know, we have a lot of people that are coming here to America. And I know there can be different issues with that, and some of that has caused dangers to us. But we have a lot of students who come over here to get education. Those also require us and are opportunities for us to share the gospel with those people. And then they can carry the gospel back. One of the things, the reason we started our Hispanic ministry almost 11 years ago was because we had such an influx of Hispanic population. And we're going there, but we also, if they're coming to us, we have a responsibility to preach the gospel. And so the church is going to care about sharing the gospel with the lost. The truth is never to be buried, but it's to be shouted from a housetop. And so when we think about our own evangelism, each of you, do you have a backbone when it comes to evangelism? Are you willing to invite somebody to church? Are you willing to stand up on issues like baptism, on issues about the church? Do you have a backbone? The church needs a backbone. Number three, the church with the backbone preaches an out-of-season truth. An out-of-season truth. The church's duty is to preach the whole gospel to its generation and to pass it on to the next generation unchanged. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Paul is speaking to the brethren in Ephesus. And he's talking to the brethren in Ephesus on the island of Miletus. And he meets with them there. And in Acts chapter 20, verse number 20, he's going to say, "How I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." Paul said he didn't shrink back from telling them everything they needed to hear. He didn't shrink back from that. Then in verse 27, Paul would say, "For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15, Paul says we are to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. You know, there are what I would call two types of truth. And you can be turning to 2 Timothy 4 as you think about this. But there is what I would call, and this came from Brother V.P. Black. Brother V.P. Black said that, you know, in so many churches, there is what is called, what we could call general truth. And then there is specific truth. Specific truth. And in a lot of churches, and in our teaching and in our preaching, we can preach and teach general truth in almost any, quote, Christian church. For example, you could preach the Beatitudes. You could preach various teachings about love one another, passages that are about how we are to treat our fellow man, a lot of teachings on marriage. There's all kinds of general truth passages that are pronounced and proclaimed basically in any congregation and in any broader sense, any, quote, Christian church. But then there's what I would call the specific truth. And what I mean by specific truth is specific truth is when you deal with issues that the Bible teaches that often involve conflict. For example, a general truth would be that we're saved through Jesus. Most Christian groups are going to agree with that. But a specific truth is going to be how we're saved through Jesus. Through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. You see, that's a specific truth where it tells us that what the Scriptures say about how to be saved in Jesus. And I think that a danger in the brotherhood, as I, in my little bit of experiencing what is being preached, and a dangerhood in a lot of congregations, and I try to, as I think about working with this congregation for years, I want to make sure that I don't neglect general truth, but I also don't want it to be that after I've been here X number of years, that there has been a lack of preaching on specific truth so that people don't know the truth. You see, some other specific truths are how we should worship. You know, the general truth would be we're supposed to worship God. And you can go in and talk in a lot of places about, well, we're supposed to worship God, and you're going to get a lot of amens. But when you get to talking about specific truths, that it is to be involved male spiritual leadership and women are not to have authority in the church, as 1 Timothy 3 talks about and things. And you talk about that women do not have authority in the church over a man and men are supposed to lead, then that gets conflict. And it's you pick a lot of issues. You talk about we're to be moral people. We're to be holy. That's kind of a general truth. But then you talk about a specific truth. That means that homosexuality and sex before marriage and sex outside of marriage are sinful. That's a specific truth. And we're not to be living together outside of marriage. That's a specific truth. That's fornication. Then it often causes problems. And I think that's what a church with a backbone is about. Is that we don't just preach the general truth that everybody can be comfortable with and that is kind of the status quo. Yes, we preach that. But we also are willing and able to preach specific truth. And so 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4 deals with this concept, I believe. Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing at His coming and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all, with complete patience and teaching. Notice what he says here. We need to, that true preaching is going to involve doing it in season and out of season, when it's popular and when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. You see, these are the kind of out-of-season teaching, out-of-season truth that a church with the backbone preaches. Let me say that some generalizations that can get us in trouble when it comes to preaching. These are some things that you'll hear people say. Well, don't preach a negative gospel. That can be dangerous, can it? We don't need to be negative all the time. And our overall preaching and our overall teaching, I don't think our overall life should not be negative. But notice how Paul says we need to reprove and we need to rebuke. There's some parts of the gospel that are negative. The first part of the gospel is negative. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. That's negative. You've got to be convicted of your sin before you can realize you're lost and you need Jesus. And so, you know, if we get into the what the world often says, well, let's not get in. I don't want to go to church to hear negative message. I don't want to hear negative preaching. Well, certainly all of our preaching should not be negative. There's a lot of positive elements to it. But we certainly must understand that the gospel involves some reproving and rebuking. Or that firmness or directness is not of the Spirit of Christ. Now that's another generalization that some say. But notice Jesus Himself was firm and direct. Or, as I talked about, general truth versus specific truth. In Galatians 4 verse 16, the Bible says, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, we've got to preach the truth. Number four, we'll pick up speed a little bit. The church deals with sin in the camp. A church with the backbone is willing to deal with sin in the camp. In Joshua 7, 10 through 11, you have this idea as well of dealing with sin and not allowing sin to affect the overall nation of Israel. And that affects them several times. It affected them with the issue of Achan, and then they lost the battle of Ai because there was sin within the camp. Achan had taken some things that he was not supposed to take. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, it talks about there can be a cancer in the church. And Jude 1, verse 12 speaks of spots or this blemishes in their love feast. And then 1 Timothy 5, verse 20 says, them that sin rebuke before all, that the rest may fear. But the main passage is 1 Corinthians 5. Where Paul speaks about the man who was involved with his father's wife, probably not his mother, but probably a stepmother that he had gotten involved with. Certainly an immoral relationship. And Paul rebukes the church. He rebukes the church because they should have disciplined this man. They should have dealt with the sin in their midst. But they had turned a blind eye to it and had ignored it. And Paul says, though he is absent, he will deal with it as if he was present. And Paul tells them to turn this sinner over to Satan, that his soul might be saved, and the rest may fear. And so the church has to deal with sin. You know, we cannot condone sin, known sin within the church. Certainly there can be confusing there. You can say, well, we're all sinners. We're all in need of of God's grace. Yes, but what I'm talking about is when there is open, willful, habitual, hard-hearted sin, and there's no desire to repent, there's no shame in such sin, then the church cannot turn a blind eye to that. The church must deal with that sin. And let me say that we might think, well, that's just the elders' job. Well, it's their job, yeah, because they watch out for our souls, Hebrews 13:7. But Galatians 6 talks about how all of us should be concerned when a brother is overtaken in sin. That it's not just the elders' job, but it's all of our job to be concerned about sin within the camp. And that a church with the backbone is a church that understands that we deal with sin in the lives of our members. And that we don't want sin to grow as a cancer and just for it to be condoned and okay. Number five, and this is the last one. The church with a backbone rounds up straying sheep. In Luke chapter 15, you have the story, the parable of the lost sheep. And in that parable, Jesus tells about how the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And when he has found that one, he brings the one back to the fold. Excuse me. And then rejoices that he has found it. In the church, we don't just say it's all right for people to go back into the world. But we want to have a backbone, and this really kind of is connected with the point number four. We want to have a backbone that we care. And we want to go after the one, the one who is left, and bring them back to the fold. And so the church is willing to face the scrutiny, face the criticism, face the challenges. You know, in a lot of ways, it can be very messy work to try to get involved and work through issues with people. If there's sin that someone is trying to work through, it can cause hard feelings. Maybe there's hard feelings against the church. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's deep sin. And you know, it's easy sometimes. It's easier just to want to say, well, let's just move on. Let them go on. Let's not deal with that messy situation. But a church with a backbone is willing to say, you know what? We're not just going to leave them and move on and find somebody else, but we're going to get into the trenches and we're going to work with them. We're not going to give up on them. We love them. And we're going to work with them and help them overcome their struggles. And we're going to pray for them and we're going to beseech them. We're going to beg them. We're going to do whatever we can do to let them know we want them to be in heaven with us. So the church with the backbone rounds up straying sheep. And so as we think about our backbone, these are some things that you could really have an entire lesson on any of these. But I think these give a general overview of what it means to be courageous today as a church. A church gives a voice to the voiceless, carries the gospel behind enemy lines, preaches an out-of-season truth, deals with sin in the camp, and rounds up straying sheep. You know, sometimes your backbone gets out of line and that causes a lot of problems. If it gets really bad out of line, if you have some broken disc and things, you may have to have surgery. A little bit out of line, you can go to the chiropractor or something like that and get some adjustments made. You can get your spinal cord adjusted. Do we need to have a backbone adjustment? Let me ask it more personally. Do you need a backbone adjustment? Do you need to make sure that you're standing up, speaking out, and speaking for the cause of Christ? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, or if you want to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and as we sing.